It's All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Today we are joined by Jerry Beckley, returning to the show, guitar player, vocalist, co-founder of the band America, and a group with long history in the islands, even recording records here. Jerry is back with another new solo album, 5 Mile Road. Jerry.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thank you for asking. How about you?
Nice to talk with you again.
Yes, it's great to have you on. Congrats on this record. When listening to the title track a few times, it's powerful. Explain what the 5 Mile Road is and if it has something to do with your 50-year career with America and the music industry.
Well, I suppose it does. The fives is just a coincidence, but it talks about the journey. Now, we all have our lives of ups and downs and rocky roads and smooth roads and things. I was trying to make the analogy that it's not an insurmountable distance. The lyric goes 5 miles out and 5 miles back. And the journey has, with the band, taken us 50 years. It's taken me well into my 60s. This is an album about that journey.
There's a track on there called Life Lessons, and all the tunes on there you wrote by yourself, too, it looks like, except for that one, Life Lessons. And that song, co-written by a very interesting character, I'm sure, to many of the people who are listening who know him best from A Robot's Warning on 60s TV, Danger, Will Robinson. And that's Bill Mumy's character on Lost in Space. How'd you get to know this guy?
Bill is one of our oldest and dearest friends in California. When we first came here in 72 to release the first album, I'd never been to California. And by that point, Horse was the biggest selling record in the country. And we did a week at the Whiskey A Go-Go on Sunset Boulevard. Some fantastic people who became dear friends. Brian Wilson came on the first night. Bill Mumy came. And when you meet Bill, he's such a familiar face. It was kind of like, why do I know you? And of course, then it all clicks. Bill is as much or more of a musician than he is an actor. When we first met in 72, and he's continued to play and record all these years, he's a fantastic lyricist. And in the case of life lessons that you learn by living the life, as opposed to, you know, it's kind of like people talk about mindfulness and meditation and how wonderful it is. And it's the answer to so many things, peace of mind and stuff. But boy, you got to do the time. There's just no way you can fast track that stuff and, you know, and speed read the book, so to speak.
That's a great way of putting it. And you mentioned Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys back there. And dialing in on that, I was looking closely at some of your work, and you did some work with David Cassidy. I was looking at who else was on the Cassidy record. And then when you mentioned your first gigs in America and who came to see you, it looks like you have, over the course of your life, you have Carl Wilson, Dennis, you have Brian, via working on the Cassidy record, Bruce Johnston was on that. At another point,
yeah.
Another point in your life, it says you worked with Al Jardine. So you can see the portrait I'm painting here. It's like, wow, all these connections to the Beach Boys. Bring us back to where that began.
It began in 63 when it was the first album I ever bought was Surfing Safari. To jump ahead, our years with George Martin. George Martin quite openly said his biggest inspiration in what he's done was Brian Wilson. So their impact was huge. But to answer your question, they had signed to Warner Brothers worldwide. Then they came to the UK in 71 to promote Carl and the Passions.
Mm.
We were signed to Warner, so we just met them, stuck with them like a couple of little puppies, you know, and followed them around. You know, Mike took us to his TM lessons and got to know Carl, and actually got to know all of them. But in Carl's case, I think he felt something in me because I was just 17, and he was 15 at the start of the Beach Boys.
Wow.
So he became a mentor to me and one of my closest friends. And unfortunately, I had the honor to give the eulogy at Carl's funeral. So I'm trying to just convey how deep the connection has gone with all of those guys.
And didn't you co-write with Brian a track for the David Cassidy record, one of those records?
Yeah, I did. I've known Brian for years. I had a strange thing happen a while back where I'm on the Beach Boy album Holland, and somebody was asking me about, you know, what was that experience like? And it was a wonderful, we went to Holland to the studio, but ironically, my involvement on the album didn't occur until the whole thing came back to L.A. It still wasn't quite done, went into Village Recorders. And I sung on a few tracks, and then this guy doing the interview said, and what was it like, you know, to sing on Sail on Sailor? And I said, I don't think I'm on Sail on Sailor. And he goes, oh, yes, you are. I have the track sheet right here. Clearly lists.
Oh.
You know? And I thought, I am. Maybe I was. I actually forgot that I'd sung on the Salon Theater.
There's this funny thing I was reading about. Nick Lowe's biography tells a story of he and Dave Edmunds from Rockpile running into you in the 70s, and then you taking them to a party to see, as they referred to it, some of your friends. And it included Ringo Starr and Keith Moon at this thing. Do you remember that?
You know, I do now. Now that that has come out, I kind of remember that story. And bless his heart, just to give Nick some credit, Nick was in Brinsley Schwartz at the start of the 70s, and we were huge Brinsley Schwartz fanatics. Fast forward a few years, I ran into him in a bar, and he was putting the rock pile together with Dave, I think. And I guess what I said was, you want to come with me? I'm going over to see some friends. And but I didn't tell him. And it was not a gag. I wasn't trying to, like, shock him. But where I was going was Harry Nilsson's flat, which was around the corner in Mayfair. And Harry was one of my dearest friends. And so it was a kind of a meeting place, Harry's. And we spend a lot of time there. And so I go over to Harry's. And Harry just happened to have Ringo and Keith there. And also Kit Lambert, who was the Who's manager, who was an unbelievable character. And so it's shown up anecdotally now. It's in Nick's book. And I love him for including it and stuff. It's a lovely story. And I tell you, some of those stories from the 70s, you kind of hold in your breath because you think, oh, no, where could this go? But in that case, I came off all right.
And in that same note, you had some great touring partners, I was reading, in the 70s. And again, it's Jerry Beckley from the band America, 5 Mile Road, his new solo release that he's got. One of those was the band.
The show with the band was in Amsterdam at the legendary Concertgebouw.
Oh, wow.
Which is just a historic symphony.
Yeah.
But this comes back to Nick Lowe, because Brinsley Schwartz were such fanatics of the band that we were all just knocked out to hear, we're going to Amsterdam, we're going to open for the band. And so Nick and Brinsley, who's the guitarist in Brinsley Schwartz, said, you guys, you got to go out on stage and write down the settings on the amps. They were so fanatic. They wanted to know exactly, they were pretty sure from photos what amps Robbie and what everybody was using. But they wanted us to kind of sneak out there and scribble down, okay, treble knobs on 7. Oh, man. And then just to kind of bring it full circle, years later, I reconnected with Rick Danko. We all lived in Malibu, and Ronnie Wood wasn't as a good friend, and Ronnie was hanging with Danko. And so Danko says he's doing a solo album. The band had the last waltz, and they're all kind of trying to figure out where they're going to go from now. And he said, I'd like you to do the backup vocals. I said, no kidding. That'd be awesome. And he says, yeah, I was thinking of maybe you and Blondie. So to come full circle with Blondie and the Beach Boys, Blondie Chaplin, there we were, Blondie and I, doing backgrounds on a couple of Danko albums. So
it's amazing, all these Beach Boy connections.
It's lovely how these things wind together.
It really is. And as we wrap it up with you, I was looking at your tour dates, and it looks like Australia, you'll be down under, and then there's a big empty spot at the end of that. Is there any chance you guys are going to come back through Hawaii?
Oh, I would love to see Hawaii. I have a kind of a cliche thing that when people say to us, great to have you in Buffalo, but it's been 5 years. How come so long? And so I then say, we don't pick where we go, because if we did, I would be in Maui every month.
Right.
It's kind of my joke about that. But as you might know, my wife and I split our time between Venice and Australia. So to see Australia on the tour schedule is it's kind of a blessing and a curse. A curse in that the guest list goes beyond measure. But at the moment, I think we're wrapping up mid-December down there. And I then take the holidays off with my family down there.
You're going to stay in Australia, basically, when the tour's over, it seems like.
I think so, yeah. We live in Sydney in a suburb called Paddington, and ended up with 3 stepkids along the way, so 5 total, and they all speak. They all text and Instagram, and it's quite a menagerie.
Man, that's quite a guest list, too, huh? Not making any money on this tour, it looks like. It's Jerry Beckley, and 5 Mile Road is his latest solo record, and a guy who, through the band America, has had so much history in the islands.
Yeah.
Thank you,
well,
man.
It's always nice to talk with you, man, and my love to everybody on the islands. Aloha.
Right back at you, Jerry. Be safe, brother.
Take care, man.
Five miles out, 5 miles back.